Pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We live in the most prosperous, the least violent, the least hungry, the most medically advanced time in human history. And yet, if you turn on the TV, you wouldn't know it. Because of our modern modes of communication and the way that the 24-hour news cycle runs, the fact that we have all of the internet in our pockets, all of the horrible things that happen in the world are beamed straight into our lives on a 24-hour loop. Even if you're not looking for news, it's hard to escape it. There are so many people suffering, so many causes that need supporting, so many opportunities to help. And that's maybe a flip side of all of that, isn't it? As we've been made aware of seemingly every needy and suffering group or individual in the world, we also now have been provided endless opportunities to help. Right? All you have to do is go on the internet and you can find a litany of causes and GoFundMes and all sorts of opportunities that you and anyone can now see the need and do something about it. But as our opportunities for caring and helping have increased, do you know what hasn't increased? Human beings' capacity for compassion. Compassion, that's what we call it, that sense that you get, the gut-twisting, can't just leave it alone, have to do something about it feeling that you see when you realize someone is in need. It's that insides moving sense that you have to do something about it. And our capacity for compassion is limited. The opportunities to help and care so quickly become obligations. Right? In our minds, we say, if I know that someone is hurting, if someone is suffering, then I feel like I should do something about it. But we are limited in resources, in attention, in emotional bandwidth. We can only spend so much. And when everyone demands your attention, demands your compassion, what ends up happening is we're spread so thin that no one ends up really getting much. Imagine what it's like for Jesus. Right? Jesus doesn't just know where people are suffering or which people are suffering. He knows the people who are suffering. He has every hair on their heads numbered. And so, could he possibly, with the entire world in his view, could he possibly have enough compassion to do something about individuals and personal suffering, about our suffering and pain and loss? If Jesus' compassion is like ours, we don't have much of a hope, do we? If Jesus' compassion is limited and is stretched thin, the more people he knows and cares about, then can we really hope for anything but table scraps? But today, in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, Jesus takes that thought and he blasts it into oblivion. He shows us compassion that is different and better. And it's good news for us because in Jesus, we see compassion clearly. Just think about that day that we read about. Right? Jesus had already put in a whole lot of work by the time we started reading. We heard last week in our gospel how Jesus had gone to synagogue that Sabbath day, how he'd been asked to preach, and how, add on top of that, he'd been interrupted by a man possessed by a demon and had, by the authority of his word, driven it out. Now, I'm a pastor and a pastor's kid, and so I understand what it's like to come home from church on Sunday. There was an unwritten rule in our house growing up that after lunch, kids, you let dad take his nap. Right? You turn on the TV, the football game is going on in the background, and dad conks out on the couch, and you do not bother him. Right? Because he's earned his rest. It's been a long day already by, 1 o'clock Eastern time when the first NFL games were going. And Jesus could very easily have given Simon and Andrew, James and John, whose house he went to for lunch after church, he could very easily have given them the look, right? When they came and as soon as he was through the door, couldn't even get his sandals off, told him about Simon's mother-in-law who was in bed with a fever. Could have very easily given them the look that said, guys, is this all you see me as? Like some miracle worker here to help you with your problems? Thought we were here for lunch. I'm hungry, I'm tired, maybe later. But he didn't. Right, instead, he immediately, just as they immediately told him, immediately went to the woman, took her by the hand, and because he was able to help and willing to help, lifted her up out of bed, and the fever left her. Jesus' compassion made a difference for that individual and her individual problems that day, as well as the way they affected that family. Now, that's a long day, right? Add another thing into it. But then, as the sun set on the Sabbath day, officially the Sabbath day was over when the sun went down, then there was a knock on the door. Of course, Jesus is over at his friend's house, just hanging out, wanting to enjoy a relaxing Saturday afternoon. But who's at the door? The entire town and everyone who has a sick loved one or someone who in their household or in their family and their friend group who is demon-possessed, all of them there because the news has gotten out. Jesus is there, and Jesus has the power, the authority over Satan's powers and every effect of sin to heal. And Jesus really easily could have done what we probably would do and say, wow, not really up for it today, had a long day already, but he doesn't. Each individual who comes to him, he goes and pours out his compassion. He not only feels for them, but he does something. And he heals their diseases as well. Next day, Jesus finally gets a chance to rest, to sleep overnight, right? He gets up early, finds some time alone to recharge his spiritual batteries, spends some time in prayer with his heavenly Father. But even that is interrupted as Simon and the rest run out to find him. Everyone's looking for you! And you'd think now with the clarity of a good night's sleep and some time and devotion, Jesus could have seen the opportunity that lay before him right here, right? Everyone loved him. Everyone had benefited from him. Everyone owed him something huge. He could have laid out a business plan. He could have charted a course. He could have envisioned a future. These people would have been a base of support for anything that he wanted to lead them towards. But instead, Jesus' compassion moves him on. It moves him to say, no, we were not going to stay here. There's villages nearby. who need to hear my message of love and compassion, my message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There's people that need my healing and my power over Satan to break every one of his works. We need to go there too, that they would know my compassion as well. Now, this isn't the only account of Jesus' compassion in the Gospels, is it? We hear of lepers healed and blind men who saw. We hear of paralytics who walk and a trip rearranged just so that Jesus could meet a woman at a well. Jesus' compassion extended to individuals, not just the ones who came to him, but the ones that he sought out and went to find. And yet, of course, in all of this, Jesus' compassion was working on something even greater, right? Working him towards the greatest act of compassion, that he had come to accomplish. Jesus' steps led that Saturday evening, that Sunday morning, to the nearby towns and villages, through all of Judea and Samaria and Galilee, but it ended at a cross. Jesus' compassion looked on that whole world of people, you and me included, tormented by our own sinful natures, caught in the quicksand of sin, and speeding down the highway that leads to hell. And he knew that we couldn't help ourselves. So in his compassion, he set out to do what we could not. To take not only take to us that not only the solution to our sicknesses and our sins and our ills of this moment, but to rip out sin and death by the root, to take our sins to the cross and to die for them so that they would be removed as far as the east is from the west, just as we read in Psalm 103 today. Jesus, in his compassion, took our infirmities and illnesses and afflictions and killed the root cause of it by taking it on himself and dying. Jesus' compassion covers over our false compassion, our use of other people's pain to look good and caring to others, our failure to care when God has put people to care for right in front of us. He's taken all of our sins and covered them with his blood. Jesus' compassion extends to the individual and to every individual heart and soul to rescue us for God from eternity in the devil's clutches. That same Jesus is the same Jesus who rose and ascended and now rules at the right hand of God the Father, ruling over all things. Every going on in this world, that same mother-in-law healing Jesus rules over all of your life and all of this world. That's good news for you, for me, and for everyone. But do you sometimes struggle to see Jesus' compassion? Right? Our news feeds are blown up by all the suffering in the world, and we ourselves know pain and suffering and loss. We ourselves suffer from illnesses. We ourselves could use Jesus' compassion. So where do we find the Jesus who heals mother-in-laws and who who finds the people who come knocking with all their needs and sees them with such love and compassion, doesn't hold back from helping them in their pain. Well, the Apostle Peter wrote in chapter 5 of his first letter something that is at once profound and immensely comforting. He wrote, remember, this is the same guy who witnessed Jesus heal his mother-in-law. He wrote to Christians who are undergoing suffering, "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand." Peter writes, under God's mighty hand, that is where you are when you are suffering. See, in your suffering, God's mighty hand, Jesus' compassionate hand in your life. He is not off somewhere taking care of someone else when you are suffering. He is right there. And what is he doing? Using the suffering. Using it like a good athletic trainer puts people through a workout. He's using it to stretch you, to stress you, to push you to the limits of yourself so that when the cracks show, he can fill them in with his compassion, love, mercy, grace, and power. God is using the things that frighten you to stretch you and grow you in courage. God is using the things that push you to the limits of your patience to grow your endurance. God is giving you things where the only thing you can do is trust his promises to grow your faith in him. God gives you needs that only he can fill so that he can fill them and prove himself faithful to you. And at the end, through it all, he promises that, just like Peter wrote, he will lift you up in due time. Or as Isaiah wrote it, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. He will lift them up on wings like eagles. So, in the meantime, as Peter writes to you and every Christian who is experiencing suffering, cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. His compassion overflows for you. He is the one who came from heaven to earth below to give his life, to shed his blood for you. How could he not also care for you in every moment of your suffering, to use it for your eternal good, to use it to shape you into the person that he has planned to spend eternity with? And when you have a moment to reflect and see how he has guided you faithfully through, then be like Simon's mother-in-law and serve. Right? How did she respond when Jesus helped her up and the fever left her by his almighty power and compassion? She served. Not trying to serve the entire world, but serving the people that stood in front of her. And in doing so, she served her Savior Jesus. God gives you opportunities. Now, as he takes care of you in your needs, he lifts your eyes to see the needs of others. And he fills you up with his compassion so that you can overflow and not feel like you have to solve all the world's problems, be the world's savior from sin. Remember, Jesus did that already. But he gives you the people that he places in front of you to serve and to love and to be compassionate towards. So let's do that. As the whole world's problems are beamed into our pockets and into our TV screens, let's not let that fatigue our compassion. Let's not let that push us past the limits of what we can handle with Jesus' help, right? Let's let Jesus fill us with his compassion so that we have compassion to give. And let's start with the people close to us. Let's start with our families, our faith family, our community. Let's find people to love and work out from there. As we do so, we'll do not token compassion, token care, but real good for real people. And as we do so, we'll show them, right? We'll show them the compassion of Jesus that finally will lead him back to us to rid all of creation from all of its suffering and pain and trouble forever. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. The peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's continue.